Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, Corey Curtis, news 2 in about 10 minutes or so. Injury report out for the Titans. Anthony Firkser is out. They have subsequently promoted Tommy Hudson from the practice squad. My guess is everybody get your Mykole Pruitt jerseys out, which, I mean, I got to be honest. Who said bring in Mykole Pruitt the day he was cut by San Francisco? Like, bring back Mykole Pruitt, please. Thank you. Caleb Farley out with a shoulder injury. Were you worried about Caleb Farley?
I've been worried about Caleb Farley for so long. I mean, yes, this is an extra added layer of worry, but I've been worried about Caleb Farley since April 14th.
You know what that sounds like? The person who's like, oh, I thought I loved that band when they were, an indie band.
I'm very hipster about my concern with Caleb Farley. I was concerned about Caleb Farley before everyone else was concerned about Caleb Farley.
Dude, Caleb Farley, man. Remember, fat guys stay fat, dumb guys stay dumb, injured guys stay injured.
He's not fat. Never talked to him, so I don't know if he's dumb. Let's just go ahead and say he's not.
Virginia Tech's good school.
Yeah, so he's not dumb. Maybe he's injured.
He is injured.
But he's young.
Fat guys stay fat, dumb guys stay dumb, injured guys stay injured. Anywho, I think this is going to be the one, though, that hopefully like Robinson learns his lesson from. That he's like, okay, I can't take hurt guys that nobody else will take.
I understand the thought process of, oh, we can get this guy who is supposed to be the best defensive player in the draft at pick 22. What a value. You know, we're gonna look back on this if he's able to contribute to this team. Like, he was a great value pick. But if he's healthy enough to contribute to this team.
I think they should have been scared when he had the second back surgery. That was when it should have been like, whoa. Because, you know, like Jeffrey Simmons had a torn ACL. So everyone's going to be like, well, it worked with Simmons.
But
torn ACL.
ACL versus.
Everybody has torn ACL.
And I'm not a doctor, so I don't necessarily know the severity of Caleb Farley's injury. But just from my outsider opinion, back and spine sounds a little bit more nerve-wracking than a torn ACL.
Yeah, no thank you on that one. So we'll see how that progresses, but it doesn't seem to look very good for the Titans. Derek Roberson, by the way, also out with a knee injury. How much of a hole are the Colts in if they lose on Sunday? Now, I will say this. I think you're going to get the best effort you have ever seen out of the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. I mean, they are going to. This is why the Titans, you know, there's going to be this is like a boxing match. They're going to have to take the first punch from Indianapolis, and then they're going to have to start giving body blow after body blow early and kind of sink Indianapolis' hopes and then kind of make it a long day for them. That's the way the Titans should win if they do win. You know, the way I'd like to see them win on Sunday. But how much of a hole is Indy in if they lose this game? We know there are two teams in this division, Titans and Colts. Mm-hmm. Now, I have thought all along the Titans were better than the Colts, but the Titans are 1-1, the Colts are 0-2, and you can argue that if Wentz stays healthy, they beat the Rams last week. They didn't, but you can make that argument. If Wentz plays, doesn't play, stays healthy this year, if they're 0-3, and the Titans are 2-1 with the tiebreaker, with the Jets and the Jags coming up, can the Titans dust the Colts in the first 6 weeks of the season? I mean, could this be something where Indy looks at themselves and says, oh my goodness, how are we ever going to catch up to the Titans? Now, they'll tell themselves that they started off 1-5 in 2018, but they don't have the quarterback they had in 2018. And that's a big difference. And the Titans are a better team than the Titans were in 2018. And the Texans were a factor in 2018. They're not anymore. So I do wonder. I still think Indy's at play for a wild card, even if they start 0-3 with the seven-team playoff and with the 17th game. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if the Titans can put some serious cushion early on in the division race.
Well, let's just say the Titans get a win on Sunday. They're already ahead in divisional race, and Indy's looking down the scope of a pretty tough stretch. And also, last segment, we're talking about the road to a playoff race, the road to the Super Bowl. Indy's road to the Super Bowl, Indy's road in the playoff gets much more difficult the more and more they fall behind, because Indy has that Tampa Bay game. The Titans have the benefit there of being able to play New Orleans over Tampa Bay this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm absolutely not counting the Colts out if they go 0-3, but their road just gets that much more difficult.
The other thing to think about, too, when we talk about road, Indy's a dome team. dome teams do not play well in the playoffs on the road.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a wild card, they don't get to host a playoff game. That could be huge for Indianapolis. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule right now. Okay, let's say they lose Sunday, they're 0-3. At the Dolphins with Wentz. Win or loss?
I'll say a win.
Okay, so now they're 1-3.
Mm-hmm.
At the Ravens with Wentz.
Loss.
1-4. Texans.
Win.
At the 49ers.
Loss.
2-5.
4-5.
2-5. Titans again. Now, see, that's a bury you game. That if this plays out the way we're talking about right now, week 8 in Indy on Halloween is the shove it up their rear end and, you know, don't even look back game.
And
if you take care of business the way you should take care of business this year.
And, you know, I was going to say, and Indy's coming off of a tough stretch, but also so are the Titans. Coming off of a tough stretch going into Indianapolis.
Going into that game?
Mm-hmm.
Are they?
Aren't they?
Well, because they got the Jags.
It's Jets week 4.
Jets, and, Jags.
And then Rams. And then
Chiefs
Buffalo, Bills, yeah, Indy.
So that could be a little tough. That could be a little difficult. And that's why you got to, gosh, you can just take one of those two. You win the games you're supposed to.
The Titans already stole a game I didn't think they were going to win, but they also lost a game that I thought that they were going to win.
But now you're talking about, in that case, it being 5-2
mm-hmm.
or 4-3
mm-hmm.
and then being 2-5. With a trip to Buffalo still on their plate and Tampa Bay still on their plate, and then they still got to go to Arizona later in the year. I mean, this is look, there's going to be some wins on the Colts schedule because they play the Texans, they play the Jags, they play the Jets. New England could be kind of interesting, but I don't think that the Titans winning on Sunday buries the Colts. But I do think that it gives you a significant leg up that you could really use.
Oh, 100%. Go ahead and get that win against Indy under your belt so when you have that tough stretch, you're not staring down at an Indy game at Indianapolis, because if you drop both games to Indianapolis, then you're in kind of a scary spot.
Oh, yeah, then you're
scared. I mean, I think that the Titans should take advantage of the Colts being in a tough position.
I think it's easy to say. If you win both games against Indianapolis, you win the division.
Oh, yeah, you win the division.
I mean, I think it's that simple.
Yeah.
Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next. Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys at Hiller, they take great care of me, and I promise that they can take great care of you. There is no better time to upgrade your essential home systems than this month with Hiller. Hiller is offering you credits for your old home systems. Trade in your old HVAC unit and earn up to $1,500 in credits towards select new ones. Upgrade from a standard water heater to a tankless water heater and earn up to $500 with your trade. Trade up to a new electrical panel and earn up to $500 in credits for your old one, and their work is backed by the Happy You'll Be Your Services Free Guarantee, and I know all about this because I use Hiller at my home. Their technicians are continuing to take measures to keep you and your family safe and healthy on every single call. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, the Vanderbilt Commodores, and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game, Titans and Colts, this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And I am downright giddy. But as I said, Carson Wentz did practice today. We should note that. Carson Wentz practiced, questionable for Sunday. But as excited as I am for this game and the prospects of the Titans being 2-1 and what that means and everything else, I will say this. We all know that the old man that used to sit in the seat next to me would be just pushing back like nobody's business. So TD came on yesterday and said, with an injured Wentz, he sees the Colts having a hard time keeping up. But we all know that the old man would be scared to death of this game. And I have to bring that out there because he's not here to do it anymore. Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us on the program. Presented by Invigorate Health. Invigorate Health TM, therapies that can restore your vitality with you designed in mind. Corey, how do you feel about this game Sunday? Because I feel like the Titans should go stick it to the Colts. We got Corey? We lost him. It's like A.J. Brown drop pass. Ball was right in the hands, and then all of a sudden it's just...
Couldn't even catch COVID.
Hello?
There we go. We got him. There you go. Corey Curtis, News 2. Corey, yeah. how do you feel about Sunday's game? Should I be as giddy as I am about the situation the Colts find themselves in playing the Titans Sunday?
Look, you should never be giddy when the Colts come to town, all right? Because the history says you should not be giddy, all right? You know, Mike Vrabel has never defeated the Colts in Nissan Stadium. He's 0 for the Colts at Nissan Stadium. And we've seen so many times where this team should beat the Colts and they don't. However, having said that, I don't care about those times. I care about this time. And I see the way the Colts are playing, and I see where their injuries are, and I see what we think this Titans team is and is going to be. And I, as I texted you the other day, the only way I see the Titans losing this game is by injury. I think as you stack it up, mano a mano, you know, they should take care of business and win this football game. There's no question in my mind. Now, having said that, the Oilers celebration weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the darkest day in Oilers history.
Is the darkest day in Oilers history the Buffalo game that Frank Wright came in and won?
That's right, and he's on the other sideline.
Yeah, and I don't. By the way, you don't want to. Speaking of the old man, you do not want to get him started on that game. Oh my goodness!
You know, I tried talking about that game once with Mike Munchak during a coach's show during a break, and you can't even discuss it,
Corey. I would say you brought up the three games Mike Vrabel has lost against Indianapolis at Nissan Stadium. And, you know, fluky things happen. Marcus spiked a ball on third down. They got a punt blocked and a punt shanked last year.
Yeah.
But the 2018 game, Marcus Mariota was hurt and couldn't play. And I remember that day, and I told a story earlier today on the show, where we were doing a special and Floyd came in and said, hey, any throw that Marcus can make, Blaine can make. And we feel good about Blaine. And it felt like a coach walking into the locker room telling the team that, more so than Floyd actually believing that Blaine Gabbert could win that game. I feel like this game, the shoe is on the other foot. The Titans would have never beaten that Andrew Luck Colts team that day without Mariota at quarterback. Wentz may play Sunday, but even if he does play, I can't see him being mobile enough to make a difference. Plus, I don't even think he's that good. I kind of feel like that this would be a disaster of epic proportions if the Titans can't get it done.
Like, when you look at every quarterback just out of the National Football League, good or bad, they all can make all the throws, or else they wouldn't be in the league. Can they make them when they're wearing a uniform, though, and there is someone covering their guy and there is someone coming after them? That's a different story, all right? And there's a reason, okay, that guys are practice squad quarterbacks, and there's a reason that guys are backup quarterbacks that are giving way to reps to practice squad quarterbacks because they're not that good, right? Mm-hmm. There's a reason Carson Wentz isn't in Philadelphia anymore. Injury plagued, not that good. Now, you could say the same thing that happened with Ryan Tannehill. He's not in Miami anymore. They didn't like him so much. Well, we're a few years removed from that, and Tannehill has certainly elevated his game. Carson Wentz, he's been gone from Philadelphia for less than a year, and he's already been hurt twice, okay? Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't have marched him out to practice today if they didn't feel that they had to have him to have a chance to win at this game. They were negligent in addressing their quarterback situation, the backup, all year, and the chickens are coming home to roost way earlier than they probably could have ever imagined, but it's here, and they've got a huge problem. Wentz gives them their only shot to win at this game, and I put that marginal at best.
Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest. Again, Corey Curtis, presented by Invigorate Health, InvigorateHealthTN.com. Look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health and wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more info. Do you think the Titans are more like the Week 1 Titans we saw against Arizona or the Week 2 Titans that we saw against Seattle? And even if they are the Week 2 Titans, still a lot of sloppy mistakes. How worried are you about that?
Well, no, I think they're way more like the Week 2 Titans. I mean, Week 1 was horrific. That was unbelievable. But, you know, we all talked about the lack of practice and lack of time together. And, you know, I think it showed its head. And I think that they got knocked down a peg and they went back to work. It is early in the season, and we have seen mistakes largely by guys who maybe haven't played a lot or played a lot with this team. And I think that they're kind of reverting back now to guys who they know they can trust not to make mistakes. in the secondary. And so I think, you know, if you TN Nation, we got coming up Saturday night, our first key victory is no freebies, all right? This Colts team is not as explosive as Seattle. They don't have DK Metcalf. They don't have Tyler Lockett. You know, they don't have those guys. You've got to make this team work down the field. Now, I like Michael Pittman Jr., just like everybody else likes him, but he hasn't produced at the level of those guys yet. And if you have to make those guys drive 80, they're going to have a harder time doing it because, you know, when you give away 60s, you're doing them a favor. And so I think the Titans erasing that is the first thing that they've got to do. And so, say whatever you want about Mike Vrabel as a defensive coordinator. He's a really good head coach. He's really good at getting his team focused in the right direction. I think that they will erase largely those things. I feel good about it. I feel comfortable with it at this point. I don't expect to see somebody running free for Indianapolis in this game like we've seen the first 2 weeks.
Corey Curtis, News 2 is our guest. I'll be honest with you. I think that this is going to be a harder game than people are making out to be. I think the Titans are going to win, and I think the Titans should win. And I want the Titans to go and dominate. You know, just, hey, put Carson Wentz on his heels, put him on his rear end, you know, load the box, make those guys beat Fulton and Jenkins. And I think that Indy wants to make this an ugly game.
Yeah, we'll make a rock fight. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Vrabel's okay with a rock fight. I mean, Vrabel wants to turn around and hand the ball to Derrick Henry. And I don't think Derek's going to bust him early like we all hope. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time for Derek to get going, like it always takes a little bit of time in a big game for Derek to get going. I think, you know, like the over-under, what was the over-under we were talking about? 50-something?
55?
Something. I mean, I think this is going to be a much lower scoring game. I mean, I'm thinking something like 19-14, something like that. I think this is going to be a rock fight, Corey.
I think Titans are going to score more than 19 points. Without question, I think the Colts are going to have a hard time getting to 20, personally. So we'll see how that all unfolds. Divisional games are always harder, we've seen this for years, where the Titans have played a terrible Jacksonville team, and the game is much scarier than it should be. Or a good divisional team has played a bad Titans team, and they've made it much closer than it should be. Divisional teams know each other well. There are a few things I'm looking at, and that is the Colts quarterback situation. And I'm looking last week at what Matt Stafford did to that secondary, okay? 14 catches for like 240 yards between Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp. I mean, those guys torched Indianapolis in that secondary. And so if they do stack the box, which is exactly what I would do, and I think what everybody expects me to do, then A.J. and Julio got to have a huge day.
Yep.
And I think those guys are going to have the opportunity. And, you know, the Titans could put some quick ones on the board if those guys can win those matchups like we think they can.
Corey Curtis, News 2, our guest, Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take this week, Corey?
You know, we always talk about, like, necessity being the mother of invention. And I think some of the Titans' early woes have helped them get back to who they are and fix their problems. I think Taylor Lewan getting hurt in pregame may have helped them long-term, because what did we see last week that we didn't see in week one? We saw tight ends in on pass protection almost every time Ryan Tannehill dropped back there. Now, sometimes they released and they caught little outlet passes and took them for 10, 15 yards, but they were in there to help protect, and Tannehill had time. This is who the Titans were last year. They kept those guys in, specifically because Lewan was out, but it gave him time. Yes, we all love 4- and 5-man routes, but when you've got A.J. and you've got Julio and you've got Chester Rogers, maybe you don't need 4 and 5. What you need is your quarterback standing up there, be able to see those guys and make plays down the field. I think it's helped the Titans discover, again, who they are and that they can win doing it that way, and I think that was important.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate you. We will see a TN Nation on Saturday night on News 2 and Sports Extra on Sunday. Tons of Titans and Colts coverage as well. Appreciate you, Corey.
All right, thanks, man. Have a good one.
Yep, Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us on the program. Corey Curtis, brought to you by Invigorate Health in Mount Juliet. My guys, look and feel your best with IV therapy, medical weight loss, testosterone, health, wellness, and body shaping treatments. InvigorateHealthTN.com for more info. He brought up AJ and Julio having big games. Can AJ and Julio do it? We'll discuss next. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday, delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, the Sounds, I just want to say this out here, the Sounds back at it. This is their last three home games of the year, so get on out to Friesen Park. They're playing the Columbus Clippers. Our Sounds coverage is presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. And again, games today, tomorrow, Sunday, and that's it for the Sound season. And as somebody who lives in Germantown, Caroline Fenton knows that I think there's probably a piece of your heart that is going away with the Sounds not playing anymore at home this season.
It is. It was one of my favorite things to do this summer, to just walk on over to the Sound Stadium, just grab tickets, grab food or drinks right by the stadium. It was one of my favorite things to do this summer. So I very well miss it. But I will not miss the parking situation whenever there's a Sounds game, because there are always so many people walking around Germantown, taking our parking spots in Germantown. So we'll not miss that, but I very much so will miss going to Sounds games.
Yeah, well, God forbid we, you know, inconvenience Caroline Fenton. Fireball Hot Take Friday. By the way, $5 and $6 beers this weekend for Fan Appreciation Weekend. So one thing I have about this Colts game, and I mean, look, it looks like Carson Wentz is going to play. He practiced today. You know, he's probably not practicing if he's not going to play. And while I don't love the injury doctor at Pro Football Pro Football Injury Doc, who's works with OutKick, you know, because like he talks about some invasive stuff when he just sees like a replay injury, and he's probably normally right, but still, you know, you never know about something. Anywho, he says he thinks Wentz is going to play, but that he won't be as effective. And you know, to me, I just say just tee off. That's what I said earlier today. But there is another side of this. Everybody's talking about the Titans offense, and they're talking about the good stuff. You know, in life, everybody likes to talk about the good stuff. You know, they like to hear about the good. When you think about like an old relationship, right, you think about the good of the old relationship. You never almost ever think or ever talk about the bad of the old relationship unless it was really bad. So like when we talk about Jeff Fisher as coach of the Titans, for example, we talk about the good. But you were a St. Louis Rams fan living in St. Louis, and when you guys talk about Jeff Fisher, you guys don't talk about the good because there was no good. So what do you guys talk about?
Pretty much just the bad.
The bad.
The only good that there was with the St. Louis Rams, I don't even remember. So it's just bad.
Yeah, and that was bad for all of us. But do you know, when everybody talks about the Titans offense, and we've talked about it today, talking about how many rushing yards Derrick Henry's going to get and how much, everybody's talking about the good. Henry, Julio, you know, TD yesterday, and I agree with TD, talking about Michael Pruitt. You know, the offensive line was good. What about AJ? What about AJ Brown? And I ask it in this sense. I'm not worried that AJ Brown, Mike Vrabel said after the game that, you know, there's a long list of guys on the team he trusts, and AJ Brown would be right there at the top. That it wouldn't even be close as deciding, you know, who's good, who's bad, who's indifferent, who's this, who's that. That wouldn't bother. And I understand what he's saying. I completely and totally understand what he was saying. And we've seen AJ have drops before. And AJ's come back and played pretty well. He dropped the ball against the Colts in week two of the 2019 season, and he tore it up against Atlanta 2 weeks later. And we know that the 2019 season was a good season for AJ. He had a massive drop last year against the Colts in the Thursday night game at home. And he ended up having just a pretty decent season as well, you know, in 2020. So AJ has the drops. AJ said earlier in the week that he knows exactly what all those drops were about. You know, the first one, the big one, where he turned his head and he was trying to make the move on the safety before he came in with the ball. And that's all nice and good that he knows what the problem was. But how big of a factor is it, not just in the game, but overall, as far as the Titans are concerned, that AJ Brown gets back to being AJ Brown? And then when Ryan Tannehill targets AJ Brown, and Ryan Tannehill will target AJ Brown, that when these things happen, how important is it that A.J. Brown catches the ball? And I'm a little torn here. You know, I mean, I think that you do it for one game, dropping the ball, And it's like, okay, look, AJ had a bad game and AJ joked about it after the game and all of these things. Yes. You do it two games in a row, the jokes on Twitter aren't going to be funny anymore. And then all of us are going to be really worried. Other than just the, and then AJ dropped the ball and that's it, without us being like, how could AJ drop the ball? Without that, because we didn't do that and nobody did that. It really hasn't been much of a discussion factor. They won the game on Sunday. Julio played great. Derek played great. So you're not too worried about it. I'm not worried about AJ Brown. But is there a step before worried? Like, if there's a scale of, I feel just great about this guy. He is the man. He is the greatest. He is the Derrick Henry. Like, on the spectrum, like, would you say we're worried about Taylor Lewan?
Yes, I think that it's fair to be worried about Taylor Lewan.
Okay.
When it comes to AJ, I'm not worried yet. I'm not worried yet. I'm going to be keeping an eye on AJ Brown on Sunday. I'm going to expect a lot more out of AJ Brown. But after one game with a bunch of drops, and it was a bad game for AJ Brown, no doubt, but I'm not worried yet.
Okay, so then what would you call that spot?
I don't want to say I'm skeptical, because I'm not, because I know what AJ Brown can do and I still consider him a huge threat to this offense. So I guess the right word for it is, I don't even know, because I'm not quite worried and I'm not singing his praises. I'm somewhere in the middle of, I need more from him. Disappointed isn't necessarily the right word.
Concerned.
I think that's fair. I'm concerned about what we saw from AJ Brown against the Seahawks, but not worried that it's going to be a perpetual issue. Now, if AJ Brown gets several targets this week and continues to drop balls and can't make big plays, I think after two consecutive weeks of dropping balls and not making big plays and not being able to contribute to this offense, I think you can lean toward worried. Not totally and completely worried, definitely tipping the scale to the worry side of things.
Would you tell Tannehill, and we know Tannehill says, and I, you know, there's what Tannehill says and what Tannehill does, and I'm not saying that one thing is, you know, good, bad, and different the other. I know there's some things Tannehill says and there's some things Tannehill does. Tannehill says he doesn't try to force feed the ball to anybody. Maybe he's telling the truth. I will say this. When he started as quarterback of the Titans, before AJ was AJ and before Julio was here, Tannehill got the ball to everybody. I remember I listened to an old Jared and the GM podcast the other day where they beat the Buccaneers, and I was talking about how Tannehill, I'm like, he just spreads the ball out to Firkser and Humphreys and Tajay Sharp and Davis and Brown and Delanie Walker and just, oh, yeah. And I remember Floyd saying, you know, at the time he goes, well, he's just throwing the ball to who he practices with. And I was like, that makes sense to me. He said he's not going to force feed the ball. Do you force feed the ball to A.J. Brown early in the game? Get him involved. Get A.J., you know, get the drops behind him and say, okay, A.J., no drops there, no worries. Julio played like a boss last week. Derek, you're the Michael Jordan, and get on with it. Or do you just tell Tannehill to do what Tannehill does?
I think you have to just tell Tannehill to do what he does. Because
but then what if A.J. doesn't have a catch? What if A.J. doesn't have a catch in the first, you know, two quarters of the game? Then are you worried about it?
If he doesn't have a catch or if he doesn't have a target?
Doesn't have a target. Like, Tannehill's just moving the ball around, just bing, 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 bing. And
well, if
he
that's where Tannehill's going to throw the – am I going to be worried about the game and am I going to be worried about the Titans? No, because Tannehill's giving the ball to the guy who needs to have the ball, the guy who's open, the guy who can make plays. And if that doesn't happen to be A.J. Brown, then that doesn't happen to be A.J. Brown. If he's completely covered up, then don't give the ball to him. It doesn't make any sense. If AJ doesn't get any catches, if he gets targets and no catches, yes, in the first half, then I'm going to be worried, because then I think there's a little bit of a mental aspect that starts to come in with AJ Brown. Like, I dropped the ball last week. I keep dropping the ball this week. What's going on here? But I think if you force feed the ball to AJ, then you're just pushing too much. I think you're putting too much pressure on Tannehill to get the ball to AJ. You're putting too much pressure on AJ to catch the ball. I say, go about the game plan organically. Feed the ball to whoever's open. Feed the ball to whoever is going to get the ball furthest downfield. Because I don't think AJ Brown is the kind of guy who needs to be fed the ball. I think he has enough intrinsic motivation to be able to get it done whenever it feels right.
Do you worry that he's going to read Paul Kaharsky's Twitter this week? And I don't even know what Paul's tweeted, but that will play a factor in the game on Sunday.
Like, it
I'm kidding. I am totally kidding.
Silly. It sounds silly, but do you think he does read Paul Kaharsky's Twitter? I wouldn't be surprised if he did. Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely he cares about Paul Kaharsky's Twitter. I'm not here to judge. Look, man, there's certain people's Twitters I care about, certain people's Twitters I don't care about. I mean, I think it's – here's the thing I think about Indianapolis. I think they're going to play that soft, you know, that soft zone defense where no one's going to get beat over the top. I think they're going to have, you know, six or seven in the box. They can't commit eight or else, you know, or else AJ's going to win the game. Because I just thought about this. They've got those – you know, substandard corners. I forget who it was TD was talking about yesterday, but he said that he talked to Mike Wells, the Colts reporter, and it was like, whoever that corner is on, AJ and Julio are going to fight to be against that guy because he's so bad. And I think that they're going to have to sell out to stop Derek, and that AJ is going to be able to get his this week. And I'm with you. I'm not worried about AJ. In fact, I'm probably not even concerned about AJ. I am keeping this, like filing it away in the back of my mind for Sunday about Indianapolis. You know, the AJ had the drops, but I think AJ will be okay. The one thing I would say is, and we talked about the Derrick Henry rushing yards, the over, the under, you know, things like that. One thing I would say is I do feel like Indianapolis is going to commit to not letting Derrick Henry run for 185 yards, at least in the first half. If Derek wears them down and the Titans have them on their heels and then they can do whatever they want, then yeah, Derek's going to run the football. But I think Indianapolis is going to sell out to stop the run. They play that soft zone. They've got a suspect secondary. I think AJ should be able to get his this week. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll hit the headlines with Caroline. We will do that next. Again, the big headline that we're going to be keeping our eye on, Carson Wentz did practice today for the Colts. Is he going to play? My guess is if you practice on Friday, you're probably playing on Sunday. But we'll keep our focus on that. 615-737-1025. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Sunday as Nashville SC takes on Chicago. Pregame at 11:45 a.m. and match begins at noon. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's funny, I was screwing around with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. And the one number that I just don't know, like home points. So Titans, Colts, home points. And okay. I feel like this is I don't want to call it a sucker bet, but I feel like it's one that they can really, you know, get you on. By the way, the line has dropped now that Carson Wentz has practiced. The line has dropped to 4.5. So it was 5 yesterday. And it has dropped to 4.5 today now that Carson Wentz has practiced. Home points over under 26. Like, surely they're going to score 26 points, right?
You would hope. I mean, if they can score 33 on the road in Seattle, surely they should be able to score 26 at home against Indianapolis with kind of a bum secondary.
Different kind of game, though. You know, they're going to want,
yeah, 100%.
You know, my guess is they're going to want the two running backs to run and they're going to try to win the game, you know, 17-17.
It'll be on the ground.
Now, I think that this is the bet where they try to get you. Like, you know, Vegas always knows.
Oh, yeah.
26.5. I'd take the under as far as points scored on Sunday. Just because it's there. You're going to want to run the ball. They're definitely going to want to run the ball. You know, and then the clock ticks, 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 and they want it to be ugly. They want it to be grimy. They don't want this to be a shootout where Carson Wentz is dropping back 40 times and Bud Dupree and Harold Landry and Simmons and Autry, and they just get a tee off on them. They do not want that. So we take the under there. With that, it's time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Headlines with Caroline is presented by Fiero Tequila. Fiero Tequila, the world's spiciest infused tequila. The world belongs to the brave.
Carolina got hit with the injury bug a little bit last night. Christian McCaffrey left the game with a hamstring strain. And then later on in the game, first round pick corner J.C. Horn left the game with a broken foot. Coach Matt Rhule said the team doesn't know the severity of McCaffrey's injury quite yet. He'll continue to get additional tests. We'll get more of a timeline on his return there. But McCaffrey was replaced by Chuba Hubbard. He was their fourth round pick this past draft out of Oklahoma State. Hubbard finished with 52 yards, 11 carries, 3 catches for 27 yards. Pretty solid outing for the rookie running back. And also J.C. Horn, no word yet on when he may return, but a broken foot. I mean, I kind of feel like that's at least 3 games. I think he may expect to see J.C. Horn on the IR soon enough. But I don't know. I don't know. But tough injury night for Carolina, but good win for them.
That, can I say I hate that? Like, I hate it. Like, and you know me, I don't care about Carolina. But I hate it for the game.
Yeah.
Like, McCaffrey. And I was thinking about this last night when he got hurt, right? Like, McCaffrey, for the last 3 years, 2 of the last 3 years before McCaffrey got hurt last year, everybody was telling us McCaffrey was the best running back in the NFL because he could do things Derek couldn't. Right? Like, Derek, you know, can plow you and can hit the home run, and Derek's... But McCaffrey is a wide receiver and a running back at the same time. And if the Panthers are going to be any good, and I do feel like Sam Darnold looks like he kind of has a clue as to what he's doing out there. It's amazing. You go from, you know, know-nothing Adam Gase to Joe Brady, and all of a sudden you look like you know how to play football. And it's shocking because the guy here did the exact same thing when he went from know-nothing Adam Gase to Arthur Smith. So that's a whole different tangent. But, like, I want to see if Carolina's good. You know, Vanderbilt maybe could have beaten the Texans last night, you know, but it doesn't matter. Like, I want to see if Carolina, they're 3-0, and Christian McCaffrey's
there. It was a close game in the first half. It was 7-6 going into the half.
It's so bad for the game. And not only that, a hamstring on a guy like that for what he does, that baby probably lasts you the whole year. That even when he comes back, it's still, you know, and every time he touches the ball, it's, oh, no, 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 do not pull up, do not. And so, you know, he had the injury last year. He's got the injury this year. Is McCaffrey injury prone?
After two consecutive, well, we don't know necessarily the severity of this injury quite yet. You say season ending. It could be a couple weeks. We don't know. But after back-to-back seasons with injuries, I don't know. I mean, it's not a good look necessarily, especially if this injury is season-ending. It's not a good look. So when do you start to call a guy injury-prone? When every season he's got to sit a couple games because he's got something tweaked or he's pulled something? I don't think we're far off.
I feel like this with McCaffrey that... You know, when I say, like, I think this is going to be with him the whole season, I mean, I think he's probably out for about 3, 4, 5 weeks. I would make sure that when I feel like he's ready to go, I maybe give him another week if I can, because you don't want him to pull up on the hamstring again. But I hate it. I hate it for the game. I do. And J.C. Horn, I mean, he's a good-looking player. I mean, a good-looking bad boy corner, you know, he's a... And now he's hurt, and he's probably out for the year. You know, I would think maybe like
a broken foot.
Late December return for J.C. Horn. So I hate those two injuries for the game. And I thought last night's game was kind of entertaining. I mean, the Panthers might actually be okay. Now, I don't think that they're great. And I think, you know, Houston had a, you know, I don't want to say a corpse playing quarterback, but they had, you know, anybody.
One of the biggest necks I've ever seen in my life.
Dude,
I do have to say.
Literally like a giraffe.
It's like his neck is whiter than his skull. It's crazy.
And he doesn't throw very well. But I got an entertaining game. I feel bad for the Panthers. What's next?
So remember when DK said, you know, hey, you got to keep a cool head. That's my priority this season. Keep a cool head. I don't think he's necessarily practicing what he's preaching, because he thinks that it has been the other team's fault for baiting him into getting hot-headed. It's not his fault for getting angry, he said. The defenders I'm playing against are chirping me, and they're baiting me because they know that I'll get angry. He said, so he was asked, are defenders trying to take you out of this game by getting in your head? He said, for sure. They can't stop me any other way. They can't stop Tyler Lockett any other way. So the best thing they can do is just try to talk stuff to me. He didn't say stuff. He used another word, but I'm just improvising here. But he, honestly, from the past few weeks that we've seen from DK Metcalf, obviously has not looked very cool-headed. So we saw him, obviously, very visibly angry on the sidelines against the Titans. Christian Fulton was all over him. He was very obviously not very happy about that. And so far, he's been flagged 4 times, once for taunting and 3 for other various penalties. But DK Metcalf, for somebody who dyed his hair to show how cool-headed he can be, is awfully hot-headed.
I feel like DK Metcalf saying that is kind of like that discussion we had the other day where I told you that I read an article that Shaq, for his diet every day, like wakes up, drinks a protein shake, works out for 2 hours, mm-hmm. has a chicken Caesar salad for lunch, and baked chicken for dinner. Like, okay, Shaq.
Yeah, me too, Shaq. Me too. Yeah, we all do that.
Okay, DK. Yeah, I got blue hair because I want to stay cool under pressure. Okay,
Shaq,
DK.
No more.
Okay, now I'll say this. I thought DK should have been kicked out of the game on Sunday. Now, CBS didn't give you a good view of it, nor a good replay of it. Mm-hmm. But he got called for holding, which the Titans declined. But on that play, he was taking Christian Fulton into the bench. And I'm sitting there, in my living room watching the game, and I'm like, don't punch back. Don't hit back. Don't hit back. Because you know how they always do it. They always get the second guy. So DK's dragging Fulton in there, and Fulton's holding his own as he goes into the entire Seahawk bench. And I would have hated it. And you got to give Fulton a lot of credit for a lot of things. Give Fulton credit for this. But, I was worried that Fulton was going to turn around and push back. And when he did, they're going to throw the flag. And right. All of a sudden, it's 15 on the Titans. And I was stunned they didn't throw 15 on DK Metcalf there. And I think you could see DK kind of was like maybe throwing a punch at Fulton. And I thought he could have gotten kicked out of the game. Again, not good angles, not good replay, you can see. I cannot get out of my head James Lofton talking about DK Metcalf's mouth guard, calling it a pacifier on Sunday. I mean, it really was a pacifier. Like, it had the ring on the outside of it. Like, it was legitimately a pacifier.
I can't get over. Those are so, the pacifiers and then the ones that look like teeth. And then there's the ones that, like, it kind of looks like a fan. Like, it has a propeller. And why are we doing that?
Why don't you just wear a mouth guard like everybody else?
We're grown men playing football. Just
right, like Smile Direct Club. It's not hard. Like, just get a mouth guard. What's next?
So the NFL released its new updated playoff format today.
Oh, hate it.
Why?
Okay, as a fan, I like it. Because I got to be honest with you, last week, I got footballed out on that mega wildcard weekend, watching 3 games on Saturday and then 3 games on Sunday. Now, part of that was because the Titans lost the first game on Sunday. And so, like, I had the
After
Bears
that,
and Saints Nickelodeon game on, but, like, my heart just wasn't there.
That was a very fun game to watch in Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I mean, like, so as a fan, I like this because, you get 3 games Saturday, 2 games Sunday, you'll be football.
One game Monday night. Game.
And then Monday night, you're ready to go back to football. Mm-hmm. As a talk show host, I guess I like it because if the Titans aren't in it, then we get to talk about, the
More
Monday
content.
Night game, Monday, Tuesday, whatever. If a team wins on Monday, they could have a really short week. I'm sure there's a rule that says if you win on Monday, you can't play on Saturday. But I'm worried that they may not put that in there and that the team that's the number one seed will want to play on Saturday. And they will get a team that plays on Monday and then has to play on Saturday. But even so, I don't like short weeks in the playoffs. I get it sometimes because you can play on a Saturday or get the extra day. But I don't like it. I don't like it at all because I do worry about the competitive advantage for a team that has to play on Monday as opposed to the normal Sunday to Sunday when we're in the playoffs. Regular season, I get it. But it just for the playoffs, it bothers me.
I have to think surely for safety's sake, they would strategically place games so you're not playing on a Monday and then turning around on short rest, playing again on a Sunday against a team who may have played on Saturday and gets extra long rest. I have to think, I have to give the NFL the benefit of the doubt and hope that they do that. But to your point, they may not. And that is a very obvious competitive disadvantage.
Those are Headlines with Caroline. Headlines with Caroline presented by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. Caroline has something very important coming up next, which I'm very, very, very excited about. Robbie Stanley going to step in. Titans week one, week two. What do we think? That's coming up next. Stillman and Company. Hey, do you want a pair of tickets to see Zach Brown at Bridgestone Arena on Sunday, October 17th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 1025 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Zach Brown. One winner will be chosen on Monday, September 27th. Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.